Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
To welcome everyone in here on this nice morning. It looked like the rain's all stopped. Made it feel a little sunshine before the day's out. Got a great show coming up today. Got Coach Rob Edwards here with me and a couple of the senior basketball boys. We're going to do a little in-depth look at the past basketball season. We may even go further back than that. Just got a whole bunch of things to talk about with that. But, of course, just a reminder for those of you that don't know, the school system here in Clay County is closed down, like I think just about all the school systems all across the United States, to try and combat this mysterious virus we've got floating around. And so far we've been lucky. It seems like here in the Upper Cumberland we haven't had any confirmed cases of any kind, I don't think, yet anywhere within our area. And I don't know of anything real close, so we know we're lucky about that. And so hopefully this preactive stuff and being proactive with combating this will help out. You know, we've got all the students at home during the day. A lot of our businesses, even here in Salina, are operating on limited hours. And I know the fast food, a lot of the chain fast foods in and around us now are only doing window service. But you know, it's a time for us to be cautious. And like everyone said, you know, it's not time to panic. And But it is a serious time in our history, and it's something that we have actually never seen before. You know, we've had some scares and things like that, but nothing like this. But with that, we'd like to welcome everyone in here to this morning's program, and maybe with all the folks home not doing anything else, they might choose to tune us in this morning. We may have a record-breaking crowd this morning. At least we're hopeful that we do. And, of course, we come to you live in the living color on your radio dial here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And then we'll have a rebroadcast this afternoon at 6 o'clock. So, you know, if you miss this one, or you know someone that has to miss it, you know, give them a call and tell them to tune us in this afternoon. And also the folks with Del Hollow Rising newspaper, they stream it online, and you can go on there and listen to various shows at any time you want to. So we've got all that covered. And with that, I know we'd like to thank the folks that make this possible, especially the Clay County Chamber and the Three Star Committee. And also we're grateful for all of the sponsors that we have here on the show. And if you'd like to be a sponsor on our show, I think they've got a deal worked up for you. And so give them a call up at the radio station. You might use the same number that we use, but I'll give that. Just look up the Kicks Country and online. It'll give you a number to call to speak with the business manager up there, and they'll get you taken care of. And like I said, with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about a few other things, and then we'll talk about some basketball here in a few minutes. Right now, take a little short break, and we'll be right back.
Identity theft is the fastest-growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank & Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank & Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're here in our little corner room at the historic Clay County Courthouse. I got it behind my head. Hold on here. I'm wrapped up. All right, is that better? All right. We got the technicalities worked out here and look like we're ready to go. Like I said, along with the historical thing, we want to remind everyone that coming up in the week of June 13th through 20, that we're having our 150-year celebration of the birth of Clay County. And that was also the year, 1870, that this courthouse was started. It wasn't completed until about 3 years later. So, guys, you're sitting in a building. It's been here a long time, but it's fairly safe. It's withstood a number of years, but with that, like I said, that's still on, you know, ongoing now. Of course, you know, with this thing going on, we don't know for sure how things may play out even 3 and 4 and 5, 6 months from now. You know, we've heard talk about everything from now until, you know, next summer sometime or other, but you know, we're looking forward to this, you know, being under control here in a few months. And of course, we're in kind of a shutdown situation here in Clay County. Our school system is closed down, but I think the school system is still offering some services, furnishing some food, and I think the students will be participating in some online activities to hopefully to continue with their education. And I know on a little bit lighter side, I think some of the folks have suggested that when this is over with, it'd be a great time for teachers to ask for a raise, because then all the parents will know just exactly how hard they work, because they're going to have to do a lot of that work themselves here in the next few weeks. But you know, that with all things like that aside, we all do know this is a very serious situation, and we're all learning to treat it that way. But this morning we've got something a little bit less of a serious situation. I've got Coach Rob Edwards here with us, and he's brought along, I think he got them all awakened from bed and out up here. His two seniors this year, Jake Ashlock and Mason Sharp, and I didn't call them by their father's names this time, which I am sometimes prone to do. But we're going to talk a little bit about basketball and sports in general here in Tennessee. Coach, I know that these two guys, you and all the basketball team, were looking forward to actually playing basketball today, but that switch situation changed all at once. And if you want to talk just a little bit about, you know, the reaction, the change that was made and kind of, you know, flashed out to everyone and the steps that maybe went through to get to this point, and then we'll talk about some other things along that line here in a little bit.
All right, Thomas, thanks for having me on today. As far as the state tournament, you know, a week ago Monday, we were playing in Eagleville, won a sectional game, and Tuesday we had to go to Murfreesboro for the state tournament draw, and everything still seemed to be fairly normal, you know, not much mention there, no mention that I was aware of. Girls' state tournament started the next day, Wednesday, and then by Thursday, 48 hours after the boys' draw, then everything was suspended indefinitely. There was a meeting with TSSAA Board of Control, had a meeting Tuesday afternoon, and I guess continued the suspension of the state tournament until further notice. They have not canceled it. It's not been canceled as of this moment. Mr. Bernard Childress, the president of TSSAA, he talked about you know, playing it as late as May, and I think they're going to go by the whatever the guidelines that the CDC sets forth is what they're going to follow, and hopefully we can still get this thing in. So there's still a glimmer of hope there that that these two seniors here sitting next to me are going to get to play another game or three.
Okay, you know, and suspension of the tournament, that wasn't an easy thing. You know, they came up with this plan where they were, I don't know, you probably know a little bit more about that than what I've read on it, that they were going to allow certain people in and continue on and try to finish the girls' tournament. You know, I don't know what happened with them. You know, there had to be a lot of negotiating and stuff going on behind the scenes.
There was initially the plan. Everything was normal, like I said, Wednesday, and then Thursday morning, about lunchtime, the TSSAA came out with a plan where they were going to continue the tournament, the girls' tournament, and they were going to allow the teams and the coaches and a limited amount of family into kind of control the crowd, keep the crowds down. And then by 7 o'clock that night, they had, I guess it just went along with the NCAA and the NBA and the NHL and all these other sports leagues that they just said, well, we're gonna suspend it indefinitely. So there, within 24 hours, a lot of things changed.
You know, and you get to looking at that, and, you know, we have, I know, on a less than happy note, a lot of these kids, I think it included grandparents and anyone living in the same household, and they kind of threw that on you guys back about determining things, didn't they?
Well, they certainly did. The school, the administrators and the coaches had to generate the list that would be used, and then there was going to be an administrator from the school at the door that would determine who could get in and who could not. So, TSSAA kind of threw that on the schools, and of course, I guess that's the only way they knew how to do it at the time, but tough situation for sure.
Well, you know, you get thinking about it, probably a lot of the families, the mothers and fathers that they're homes with, probably wouldn't have held all of the people that's going to move in with them and start living with them.
Right.
In the next couple of days.
Many generations in the same household there suddenly.
But, you know, that, and of course that, I mean, it really, really and truly looking at it, probably was something that was totally unworkable. And I guess, I do know, you know, that we have, Coach Larry White down at Macon County, I mean, you know, he was real, real, torn up about this because he had been coaching a long, long time and finally saw his little glimmer at the end of the tunnel where he could win a state championship, and they'd taken it away from him. You know, that, I mean, that is, you know, it is heartbreaking. I know if these guys don't get to play, it's going to be something that, you know, they're going to carry with them a long time. And that, and same thing with all the, you know, us coaches, we that were coaches, you know, until we do, you know, decide it's time to let someone else coach, we always have that chance for next year. But all this seniors and things like that, you know, they don't have that second chance that we get every year when we start anew.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and these two guys here sitting with us today, they put together really great high school careers, and you know, it would truly be a shame for them not to get to play a final game because of what's going on. But at the same time, that being said, we understand the seriousness of the situation, and we understand why these things have to be postponed. And like I told them that day that I met with them and told them, that the tournament was suspended, you know, we can only control what we can control, and we can't do anything beyond that. So at least at this point, the TSSAA has left the door open, and there's an opportunity, hopefully, somewhere down the line that we can get these games in.
And I do think I remember seeing where someone had posted a thing online saying that they'd actually picked out a date to hold it and all this kind of thing with that plan, which we know was bogus because nothing like that has been done yet. And, of course, that was spread out real quick, too, and we were everybody was celebrating that, you know, this is going to happen. We've got a date picked out and all that. But according to them, you know, it's still up in the air exactly when it'll happen.
Yeah, I think the date that Mr. Childress referred to was May 11th, and he was just going 8 weeks from the day of the meeting, which is what the CDC had said. You know, no crowds for over a certain number for 8 weeks. So I think he was just going off of that date. But again, it could be sooner, it could be later. At this point, we just don't know.
Okay, with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll talk about something else here in just a few minutes. Right now, we'll work in a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, Bob Players. And we'll remind everyone here in a little bit, we're going to be giving away one of those delicious birthday cakes out at the Dairy Queen. got a little list of names here today, and we'll draw one out here toward the end of the program. Read the names here in a few minutes. But Coach Edwards, I'm going to let you take over here for a minute and kind of tell us a little bit about this past season, and then we're going to let these two young men chime in along if just kind of look over at them and point at them if you want them to say something.
All right, I can do that. We have to wake Mason up.
I'm ready to go.
Well, I don't really, you know, we can start back as early as last summer. You know, we lost those seven seniors and coming into the summer and then early in the season, wasn't really sure, you know, what to expect as far as wins and losses. I mean, I knew that we had some talented guys, and we had these two guys here that were going to have to be our leaders. They were going to have to show up and lead us. And then football season carried over. We had to wait on Jake here a few weeks, but he came in and immediately made a big impact with us there. And you know, I'll just let you guys talk a little bit about your senior year, about what how you think things have gone so far.
No, I want Jake to start because with Jake, if you'd watched him the 3 years up until this year, his playing time out on the floor, Jake was kind of a free spirit out there. Kind of did what he wanted to, shot three-pointers, just kind of whatever he wanted to. And I look up and I see, you know, the first couple of ball games, and this young man has developed one of the best inside post games I think I have seen in a long, long time. And I just wanted to ask him, did this just come to you, Jake? Or now, I'm sure it really did. But the work you did, and how did this come about, Jake?
Well, thank you for the high praise. I don't know. I guess I've always had it. I just ain't really had to use it because we had Gavin. Gavin was inside, and we just fed him the ball. And I was outside mainly.
Some of those basketball moves, Dick, you spent a few hours maybe working on them.
Yeah, a couple of hours.
Every day.
About it.
But, you know, like I said, it was just something that we haven't seen in a long time, and that was the little half hooks, the good post moves, the good footwork, you know, something that we don't see a lot of at the post play anymore. And from that, you know, like I said, you kind of turned yourself from a kind of a roaming free spirit who actually was instrumental in winning a few basketball games last year with your three-point shooting, especially one I remember over, I guess it was in the region tournament where you went off one night and just hit a whole bunch of threes over there. And this year, you probably didn't take, 15, 20 threes this entire season, Coach?
I would put him somewhere in the 20 to 25 range, yeah.
Jake, now, how did that feel, you know, as far as the game itself? You know, when you're playing out, you're out there kind of by yourself, but during the season this year, I don't think you ever felt lonely down there, did you, at the low post?
No, I had about four people on me every night. And then, you know, when they came in double, I just kick it out to my shoes.
So, Mason, for the points that he made, maybe you should be credited for maybe at least half of them.
Every one of them.
Yeah, okay.
Every one of them. I got him wide open shots every night, whether he made it or not.
That was up to him.
Yeah.
You did your part.
I got him open shots.
Now, Mason, do you have a response for that?
Well, I'm going to take credit for every one of the threes he's hit in the rest of his career because I've taught him everything he knows about shooting. He wouldn't be where he is today without me.
Okay, Coach, let's get back and kind of get serious a little bit. And let's kind of walk through the season a little bit and talk about that just a little bit, the season itself.
Well, we kind of break it down, or I at least kind of break it down in the three different seasons. You know, we have the before Christmas is kind of the preseason, so to speak, and you know, we started off playing well. We opened up at York against a 2A York team who's also in the state tournament waiting, and you know, we got a played a good game up there, especially the second half. We made a few defensive adjustments and caused him some problems, and then I think you know, the game winner there was Jeff Jeff got an offensive rebound and shot it back up, and then Grant got the tip in right there as the buzzer went off, and started off on a good note with a good win against that team, and things just kind of carried from there and went into the Christmas tournaments. Had another good showing at York and in their Christmas tournament, and got to the championship game. Just fell a little bit short on that third day there, but then took a few days off and came back after Christmas. Actually, the York tournament was after Christmas this year, but pretty much from that point on, it's a district game every Tuesday and Friday, and our conferences, there's no easy nights. I mean, it was just every night we know that we're going to get everybody's best game. We started off as the number one pick, and you're going to get everybody's best game. There's a target on your back every night when you go that direction.
During that Christmas spell, I think a lot of the fans thought we had signed up for an NBA schedule this year. I think we traveled. We might have. See, how many trips to up to Somerset? What was it? Three.
We went 3 days to Somerset.
About 140 miles round trip? Prior to that, York. And New York's not a long distance, but there ain't no good way to get there unless you drop out of a helicopter or something.
Yeah, I wasn't getting paid per mile or anything, if that's what folks are thinking, for sure. But, I just thought that those were two good tournaments for us where we'd have some good competition.
I think right in the middle of that, we went down to East Robertson, which is...
We did.
Just a little step away.
Another team that's in the state tournament that we've...
I'll tell you, let me read the birthday, and then we'll come back and continue with this. I've got a little bit of a list of birthdays here today, folks that have celebrated the birthday this past week. And beginning with Larry and Bonnie Denton, who celebrated an anniversary this past week. And then from that, we've got quite a few birthdays, some of them on different dates here. Miss Aileen Gray celebrated a birthday yesterday, I believe the 18th. Miss Rebecca Collins is celebrating a birthday today. Miss Linda Strong celebrated a birthday last week on the 8th. And also yesterday, Mr. Tim Scott celebrated birthday. Of course, we'd like to wish all these people a very happy birthday. And then on the 12th, Joyce Roberts had a birthday. Happy birthday to Joyce. And then also Fred Kendall on the 17th. And then also on this list, I'll go through the, these don't go in the drawing. I have one birthday for one of my former basketball managers who lives down in Florida now. She might be listening to us on internet later on. Miss Vicki Hayes Elkins. And I think she has a niece playing on the girls' basketball team up here now. I think Zoe Hayes is her niece. So she was one of my managers years ago. And then I plug my relatives here on this one. I have three that were born on the same day. I have Troy Watson and Tracy Davenport, of course, twins, and Angie Eads. And they were all born on March the 14th. So shout out to them and wish them a happy birthday. I know they've got folks here in the audience listening to them. But those are just folks that have celebrated birthdays this past week. And we'd like to wish all of them either happy anniversary or birthday. And remember, give us a call here at 243-5574. And speak slowly and clearly into our handy-dandy answering machine here. And we'll get your name on the list, and we'll draw out a name here in a little bit, and they can take a little gift card over to the Dairy Queen and get one of those delicious ice cream cakes. With that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-7222. 5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I said we're back with Coach Edwards and these two young gentlemen here that are with us. And, with, you know, looking down at this year's schedule, the just looking the way the schedule was set up, and I don't know whether he did that on purpose or not, but that it, to me, that's one of the things when I was coaching that I tried to do, and sometimes I guess people didn't understand it, and that was the layout of this year's schedule, where this team did a lot of traveling the first part of the season. You know, some folks think if you've got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, they ain't never played, you know, they need the friendly confines of home. No, they don't. They need to be thrown in with the lions in the lion's den and learn what it's like right off the bat and see how they react to it. And I think, Coach, that may have had a whole lot to do with success of this year's team.
It very possibly could. You know, we played a lot on the road before. I think maybe 2 home games, maybe 3. I don't remember. But, yeah, we were definitely on the road a lot. And we were glad to have those trips over with once January rolled around, to be honest with you.
And they were anxious to get home, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
And, okay, now let's getting back to the season. And we did, like we said, we went into the district. And, of course, you know, something that these guys also had an extra load put on their back basically from the beginning, and that was mid-state rankings and statewide rankings for these guys, right, just right off the bat. And I guess, of course, we know some of it had to do with reputation, which, you know, is usually the first poll or two are, but they did a pretty good job of living up to what was placed on them this entire season, didn't they?
They did. You know, the expectations were high going in, and you know, not just from the based on the polls, but from the community and the school, and we set our own expectations pretty high. You know, we don't take a lot of time off, and when we could do that, but we you know, we work hard at it every day, and these guys play a big part in that. Seniors are a group that can never have a bad practice. They have a good practice every day, you know, just like the coaches do. So, you know, these guys set a great example and led us a lot of times. It's not easy. It go to school all day and then 3 o'clock rolls around. You know, you still got an hour and a half, 2 hours of work to do. So they did a great job of that for us this year.
And I think, you know, I look, of course, usually when I was coaching, I didn't look at too many polls because, like you said, they don't mean a whole lot. It's what's written down in the scorebook that really matters. But, you know, you're looking at the final poll this year, I think maybe in Tri-State schools, we were ranked number two in the state behind, of course, one of the other teams there in Memphis, and that was, I think, Booker T. Washington. And, you know, a lot of times folks look at the records of these teams coming out of Memphis, like Booker T. and the school that we were playing. But when you look back, I think this school, I don't know what the name of it used to be, but I'm sure it's one of the old historic schools that they turned into a magnet school of some type. But Booker T. Washington has been around for a number of years. And from all the way back from the time when there was no classification in basketball in Tennessee, they were one of the top teams in the state. And if you look at their schedule, they still play that historic schedule that they played for years against the Boltons and the Kirbys. And the historic old powerhouses from Shelby County and Memphis, which is sometimes is kind of deceiving because they may come in with 8 or 10 losses, and then you look over at their district record and they hadn't been beat. And also you look that they still travel a lot out there and play some big tournaments.
They do. You know, Booker T, we actually played them back in 2005 in the Christmas tournament, the Livingston JC's Christmas tournament over here several years ago when Livingston was still doing that. But yeah, you look at their schedule, they've played Whitehaven and they've played a lot of these bigger schools. Memphis Academy for Health and Sciences, that's who we're scheduled to play in the first round of the state tournament. They have a player who wasn't eligible to play until January. And I think maybe they have 8 losses, and I think maybe 6 of those losses or 5 of them were prior to him being eligible. So, you know, you can't really look at their record right now and base anything on that.
We'd like to have a chance to play them. Of course, we wouldn't care if we got another matchup with Monterey if this thing ever takes off, but it'd be nice to be playing against them and beat one of the Memphis teams sometime or other in the finals of the state tournament. I know we still have sour memories over that.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, the Douglas game, you know, we led most of that thing until the very end there. Kid hit a couple long-distance shots on us and gave them the lead, and I think we just kind of ran out of gas. But, yeah, we'd love to have an opportunity to play Monterey again, that's for sure.
Okay, now, guys, back to you guys. Pick out one moment that really stands out in your mind during this season this year. And Mason, we'll let you go first today. Give you about 5 seconds to think about it.
Probably the celebration at Eagleville. Just felt like the whole county was behind us. Just coming off the floor that night, there was so much energy in the room, just jubilation from the whole entire county. It was great.
Mark, what about you? Hey, Mark. I did it again. Jay, what about you?
Don't cuss me like that.
He may be listening.
Like Mason said, probably the whole Eagleville game. That was just a fun atmosphere to play in, and then, like you said, the whole community was rallied around us, and it was just a good moment.
And we had bad memories from last year down there, didn't we, with our girls' team. And I think maybe that might have helped you guys a little bit, too. What do you think? That kind of made a little payback to them?
A little sense of payback, that for sure. Felt like they deserved one after that, I guess.
Okay, and during the season, guys, did you guys feel any external pressure on that, you know, that you had to win this game? That, you know, that this one, was there any one game maybe that stands out during the regular season that was really important to you guys?
I guess a lot of the district games, we wanted to finish with that 1 or 2 seed so we could get the bye. A lot of the district games had, a little bit more pressure.
Well, let's talk about 2 games in particular, 2 of the later games. How about the Jackson County game, guys? Mason, did you have any part to do with that victory or anything? Right toward the end of the game?
I don't know what you're referring to.
did you make a nice steal up around center court? Was that the Pickett County game?
I don't remember exactly. The 5-second call, yeah. Jackson County. I was a little excited after that play, screaming and putting on or whatever.
Well, you know, and the thing about it, I think that may be the most nonchalant 5 seconds I've ever seen called.
Yeah.
Because you really weren't dogging the guy. You were just kind of staying with him real good and close. Uh-huh. And everybody looks up and says, hey, he's guarding him. Jake, what about you? Anytime you felt extreme pressure right down in one spot?
I guess all the elimination games. I mean, there's pressure when it comes to them, like in the district, in the region. And then the Eagleville game, there's a lot of pressure on them because win or go home.
I know, but the Pickett County game, anytime we play Pickett County, it's a fight, isn't it?
Every time.
Guys, and I'll tell you, it has been for about, since about 1972. I mean, it started out that way, and it hadn't lightened up much since then. I think maybe we've got some grandchildren of the people that played on those teams that are playing now. Not to put any years on it or anything. Coach, to you, this is kind of real bad on me to ask this, but has there ever been a time, was there a time this season when you kind of throwed your hands up and said, shucks, it's over with, we're fixing to get beat?
Not that I can necessarily recall, but, you always, I told these guys as we were going toward the end of the season, I'm still nervous for every game. There's anxiety before every game, especially those district and region games where you can be eliminated and you're playing somebody like a Pickett County in that region semifinal game. I mean, that was, and it seems like in the last 10 years, I know for a fact we played Pickett more than any other single team on our schedule. I think we've played them, Andrew could tell you for sure, but I think we've played them maybe over 30 times in the last 10 years just because both of us have been advanced so far. But, yeah, there's always anxiety, and that's what I try to tell these guys before we go out and play in these games. You know, I'm just as nervous as they are.
You know, probably looking back through the years, I'd say we played them probably a minimum of three times every year and a lot of times four times during the single season. And a lot of times I know there have been games that going in as a coach, that the coaches on both sides felt like the winner of that game was actually going to win the state tournament that year, and it actually played out that way maybe a couple of times, and it wasn't us, but you know, which is not a good feeling. But you know that, and I know when I started coaching, Coach, an elderly coach, a very famous coach, Coach Turney Ford down at Gordonsville, who coached at Gordonsville, coached football and basketball, and he gave me two words of advice that I really appreciated. Number one was, before each game, you go home and eat you a good meal and take you a 30-minute nap. And I tried to do that. And the other one was, and how you know when it's time to quit, he said, after losing that last game, if you don't walk into the office the next morning and start working on next year's schedule, it's time to quit. Because you no longer really have that interest that you had. And I do know now that I don't know about taking your nap, but I do know that the next morning after the games, you're ready for the next year, which means you're going to be hanging around a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's, we've spent some time already working on the schedule for next year, and hopefully we haven't played our last game. So, but it is a different situation this year for a fact. I agree with both those things. In my earlier years, I couldn't hardly eat before games, but now I can eat. I don't know about taking the nap part, but I can definitely eat a good meal before we play.
I saw a study the other day on one of the TV shows said taking that nap is very important to reinvigorate yourself and get ready for what's coming up. But the coaching, I also, on a little bit of a different subject, on a personal, I guess, a personal thing for myself and you, Coach, is that game had a very special meaning for both of us, and it's something that I know our local paper and some of the folks around had kind of kept up with these things all year, and that was the Bulldog victories. And that game, I believe, what they said, that placed you one game ahead of the total number of games that I won as a coach. And that was a very special game for me, and it was all, I know it is a very, very special game for you in the fact that these young men were going to get to go to the state tournament, and that you had reached a goal that I know that you're very proud of.
Yeah, Coach, it's an honor just to to be able to say that been able to stay around this long and to surpass your number of victories. That's when I first got here, that, and this is what I told Thomas the newspaper when I first started in the old gym over there. That plaque was on the wall, said 447, and you're looking at that as a first or second year guy, and you're thinking, gosh, mighty, there's no way you'd ever get to that. And then next thing you know, 20 years have gone by, and here I am, and that's a credit to the community and to all these great players that I've had through the years. It's just in the right place at the right time.
Okay, and I know, they've made a point, doing all these, adding all these numbers up and stuff. And one of these days we might sit down and talk about that. But I know that something that the Class A schools, if you look throughout the history, the coaches that have won the most games in high school sports in Tennessee are coaches that stayed with the same school. And a whole lot of them, coached out at the country schools, were the smaller schools where a coach came in, he was part of the community, or if he wasn't part of the community, he real quick became part of the community and kind of stayed there for a long time. But then you look at a lot of these, there are coaches that have got the 500 and 600 wins, but you look back through it and they've swapped around and tried to follow talent and this kind of thing. But I think, folks that coach and stay with the Class A schools, they look at not 1 year, not what I've got this year, but, they've got to look at what I've got coming up in 2 or 3 years from now and be planning ahead on how we're going to handle this, what we're going to do, but I know we have a lot of coaches that I call them carpetbagger coaches back in the day that tried to follow where the money and where the talent was. But, coaches such as yourself are to be commended for the fact that they've stayed with the community. And it is a community type thing. And the community, they celebrate with you and they cry with you when you lose.
Yeah, that's true. We've always had a lot of community support. And we travel as well as anybody, so that's meant a lot to me. Through the years, just as much as having these great players, just like these two guys sitting here with me today, they've made a big impact on the program, and of course my family, always there supporting me too. So that's been a big deal.
Coaches' wives deserve a bonus every year.
They do. They do. They go through a lot of tough moments and a lot of tough moments they probably don't deserve to have to go through. But that's for sure.
Okay, now. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other members of the team this year, Coach. You want to give us a little rundown on the other players this year?
Yeah, we have one junior, and that's Gunnar Silk. And he runs a point for us a lot of times. But without a doubt, night in and night out, he draws the toughest defensive assignment. We talked about the Eagleville game, and you go back to at the time we didn't know it, but the guy he guarded, Riley McLaren, was the next day he was going to be Mr. Basketball in Class A in the state of Tennessee.
And had been averaging how many points a game?
Well, in the last five games prior to that, he'd averaged over 30 a game. And Gunner held him to, I think, 18 is what it was, but he only had five at halftime and really frustrated him. And I think that the Eagleville team feeds off of him. And so a lot of that credit for that game would have to go to Gunner Silk and his defensive effort. Some other guys, Grant Strong led us in scoring all year long, leads the team in assists and tied for steals, and just does a great job, gets to the free throw line when at the end of the games when we need him to put the ball in the basket. Really good, like I said, getting to the free throw line and making shots and sealing games for us. Jeff Spivey's come a long way. He's become a good defender. He had to guard a kid at Eagleville that a tough matchup for him and did a great job on him. Not only that, but he leads the team in three-point percentage, shoots 42% from the field, and third in rebounding, gets some big offensive rebounds sometimes.
And I was watching him play, a lot of the things that he did sometimes weren't necessarily successful, but there's a word in there, they were disruptive. And, you know, sometimes that being disruptive is better than being successful sometimes. It seemed like some of the things that he did disrupted what the other team was trying to do, even though he might have got called for a foul or something like that. But it kind of disrupted their flow of the game, some of the things he did.
Yeah, his presence a lot of times, he's long, you know, so he can not necessarily block a lot of shots all the time, but he can come from the help side and change a lot of shots. You know, a guy thinks he has a wide-open look, and all of a sudden number four comes through from the help side, and you have to change your shot, and you know that changes a lot of the shooting percentage for the other team.
And I don't know. I guess most of the folks know. Some of them may not. But when I call these guys by the wrong first name, it's kind of hard to break that habit because I think all of their fathers played for me. Those four guys did, and on some of the best basketball teams we've ever had, and some of the finest young men we've ever had who are very, very successful now here in the community, or community leaders, which is something I'm very proud of, and I know it's something that I know these guys are proud of their fathers, and I know they have, they've helped you along the way sometimes with a whole lot of times with encouragement to these guys, and I'm sure they remind them every once in a while, you know, what we did and what we expect you guys to do. And I know, like I said, that's one made this team a very much of a pleasure for me to watch, and it's also it made it very special to me when they were a part of the team that accomplished what they have this year.
Yeah, they you know they come from a good gene pool. You know, these guys have some natural abilities that you know that I can't teach them necessarily. They just show up with it, and you know. But again, it comes down to their work ethic and their willingness to work, and they're all high character guys, and they're all going to be successful in life at whatever they choose to do as well.
Absolutely. And look, guys, let's take a little short break. We'll come back. We're going to give away a birthday cake. We do need to work in one more commercial. I guess when we come directly back, I think the mayor's here. He's got something he wants to announce. So we'll be back just in a second.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor, real quick, I think you've got some announcements.
I do, and I apologize for popping in on y'all, but I've enjoyed this, sitting and listening to this. We've got three announcements we want to make about the some closing of the county facilities and everything on account of the coronavirus. The county clerk's office will not be issuing driver's license due to the circumstances of it till after April 1st. And, of course, that's subject to change depending on the situation and everything, but we encourage everybody to give a call to the clerk, and they will let you know when they'll start doing the driver's license again. And as of today, the senior citizen centers will be closed down. And it'll be closed until April the 6th, and, of course, that's subject to change, too, just depending on the circumstances. And Sandra down there, she's encouraged everybody, and we're fixing to go back down there here in just a few moments and talk to them, that we'll be doing welfare checks of all of our seniors and stuff, that if there's anything out there that you know that we can do to assist them and everything, to help them in any situation we run into. And also our public library is closed now to the public, and they'll still be out there, but it'll be closed to the public and everything. And they will be checking out materials on I guess if you come up, you call and let them know, they'll get it for you and everything. And it's just precautions that we're all wanting to take for the safety of all of our citizens, and certainly the safety of our employees and everything. So we certainly want to thank you for the opportunity to let me drop in and do that. And the March 30th Planning Committee meeting of the County Commission has been canceled. And I may get back with you next week, Thomas, and
okay,
bring some updates.
All right.
And everything.
All right.
Coach, thank you so much for giving me a minute and everything, both of you guys, and congratulations. You guys, thank you all.
I'm sure there will be some kind of honor from the County Commission.
Absolutely.
And for these young guys a little bit later on,
yes,
sometime
absolutely.
Later. Absolutely. Oh, and I know that's one of the things I want to ask Coach Edwards. We've got just a few minutes or so left, and that is, if the state tournament is not completed, do they have some type of plan where they're going to honor all of the teams that were to participate? Have you heard anything like that?
Well, that was not discussed at the Board of Control meeting, so I have not heard anything regarding that.
You know, I just wonder, you know, maybe if they came up with something where they can some kind of little medal as participant or something this year. So just wondering on that.
Yeah, as far as I know, there's nothing. It could have been discussed by TSSAA, but not at the meeting that where I listened in.
Okay, and with that, I think we're about to run out of time, and I'm going to get us a number here for our birthday cake. So the winner of today's cake is Joyce Roberts. So, Joyce, you'll need to come over to the chamber and pick up your little certificate for your cake. Take it over to Dairy Queen and trade it in. Guys, I wish we had another hour. I've kind of enjoyed this morning. And I know you guys didn't have anything to talk about much, but it's been a pleasure having you here with us, for you to sit in with us and be able to be with us. Guys, what's up for the rest of the day now? Online studies or?
Sleep.
Yeah, I believe I got some working out to do. A couple push-ups or whatever.
Well, let me ask you about that, Coach. Is the gymnasium closed for the...
It is. There's nobody. Nobody's allowed in the gym. So we're just kind of in a holding pattern right now, so to speak.
Okay. And yeah, I know that none of these guys are planning on leaving town or anything until we find out about the state tournament. Are you? So you're going to be ready to go when the time comes.
Yep.
All right. We're looking forward to that. And guys, it's been great having you here with us. And until we meet you again here next week, same time, same channel, on on WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we do. And with that, we'll say good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.